You're listening to Radio Mayapur with the best devotional, meditation, kirtan music, and inspirational podcast. This is Radio Mayapur.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Radio Mayapur, link to your heart. This is Ganga Das, your host. Today, we are in Auckland, New Zealand, the Kiwi land. And there's a lot of wind today, it rains, the weather is grey, looks like London, but it's beautiful.
It looks like Mayapur.
Looks like Mayapur in the rainy season, yeah. Okay, you're right, okay. Correct. Today we are very, very fortunate to have with us Kala Samvara Prabhu, who is the temple president of Auckland. It's a beautiful temple. He was born on 26 September 1951 in Christchurch, New Zealand. He studied as a master tailor. Maybe he's the guy who makes the dress of the deity all over the world. The designer, I don't know. But joining, met the devotee in 1973, joined in 1976, and in Christchurch. So, welcome, Kala Samvara Prabhu. I know you for a long time, and you were in Mayapur many times. I saw you there. You're a very attractive figure. I went with you in Arinam last year, here in many places in New Zealand, right. And you are very personal with people, very friendly, you're talking to them, you make them chant Hare Krishna, very inspiring personality. So thank you for coming today and dedicate some of your time to Radio Mayapur podcast. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to be part of Mayapur podcast.
Wonderful, hey, wonderful.
Mayapur, the center of the world.
Absolutely. So, Kala Samvara Prabhu, tell us a little bit about your, what was your life before you decided to become a spiritualist and inspiring personality?
Horrible.
Horrible or horrible? How was the life, horrible or horrible?
Well, as a devotee, you've got to think it's pretty horrible not knowing about Krishna.
Of course.
Not knowing, you know, what we know now, being in the illusion that I was in.
Natural.
So, you know, I went to school really...
No, a little about your family as well, for example. Yeah. You are the only son.
No.
Fed with a golden spoon.
No, I had basically two sisters and five brothers.
Wow, that's a big family for New Zealand.
Super good. No, that was common back then.
Was common, eh?
Yeah, it was
quite
common.
Oh, that was nice. Yeah. It's nice, like Italian family.
Coming, English background,
okay.
Grandparents and the forefathers and all that sort
nice,
of stuff.
Nice.
And super nice families, everything as good as you can be. When it comes to family, we still get on now as a family.
But that's why you're such a nice guy, because I believe the scientists today, they say that the first 5 years of your life are very, very instrumental in how you develop your personality. And if you're born in a nice family, I am also born in a wonderful family, born in South Italy, in Napoli, and all my family are all Napolitan, pizza, food, crazy, wonderful, and lots of love, a lot of friends, a lot of uncle and auntie around, and plenty of kids to play, brother, sister, cousin. So I think that's why you're such a nice person.
Thank you. It's nice that you're thinking I'm a nice person.
You're actually.
I'm a nice person.
Anybody I ask, they say, oh, he's got somebody. He's such a wonderful guy. So nobody, I do a check-in spot for all the temple presidents where I go. Nobody spoke bad about you.
Ah, very nice. So super nice family, parents, very encouraging, no one discouraging, always supportive. Education, school, not the best. I really had couldn't figure out what the hell I was doing there.
It's difficult when you're a kid, you know.
Yeah. I think.
Different things.
Yeah, just as I was, I think I maybe a year and a half at high school. And then my father decided, get me out of school, get me into something. So he had a friend and he arranged that I became a tailor.
Wonderful.
So it was a 4.5 year apprenticeship. So I learned all the things of pattern making and how to cut it out and how to design and
but the most important is, did you like it?
I did like it.
Yeah, that's very important.
Yeah, I did like it because I could make all my own clothes.
Yeah, whatever reason.
But yeah, so if I was going out on Saturday night, I could I could start making a suit on Thursday and have it finished Saturday. And I designed all these far out clothes, like
amazing.
I would make bell bottom jeans.
Yes.
And I'd have the material the right side on one side, and then I'd turn the material around and
what
have the outside material. So I used to have these flares. So I was always always designing.
Means a lot of creativity.
I embroidered once because those, you got to remember, it's the hippie days.
Yeah, of course.
Mods and rockers.
Of course.
So, of course, I was a mod.
Of course.
With your paisley
we were
shirts.
All. We were all.
So on and so forth.
Yeah.
And so a lot of good dope, a lot of good
That's
marijuana.
Part of our growing life.
LSD,
yes.
The whole thing.
That was part of our growing
So, and a lot of times,
experience.
So one day I embroidered a whole pair of jeans.
Nice.
With like butterflies and all hippie stuff, you know.
That was beautiful, I remember.
You know, that those days were like Woodstock is
the,
just
Beatles
there, the Beatles
and the rock and rolls and yeah. Rolling Stones
like
and the Pink Floyd, and Jefferson Airplane and James Joplin, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Tell me any name I don't remember.
Yeah, all these far out people.
Beautiful.
So
extraordinary people.
Yeah, so did the apprenticeship and 4.5 years, and then after 4.5 years, I decided to give it a break.
Okay.
Because I couldn't see much purpose to that either. I was right into, with my friends, like mental speculating. Even though I didn't know what mental speculating was, we would spend hours and sometimes day. Yeah.
You were thinking about what's going on. Now.
But we never came to a conclusion.
Of course, you cannot.
So it was bloody frustrating.
It's impossible. You look at the star, you think, maybe there is some people up there.
Yeah.
And you look at the, what about incarnation? Yeah. What about this? What about that?
Yeah. I remember once as a kid, I was on my bike driving down the road and I looked up and I was hippie-ish. Mm-hmm. I looked up in the sky and I said, you know, if there's a God, show me there's a God.
Please. Yeah. Let's, show
you know,
yourself to
come
us.
Come on, mate. Let's
come
go.
On.
You know, the Beatles are here.
I think that's
where
why not
hiding?
The main reason we become devotees. At one point in our life, we ask God, if you're really there, show it yourself to me in some way that maybe I surrender, maybe I want to serve you, maybe I want to love you, maybe I'll try to figure out something, what is this crazy stuff going on in my head and in the world.
Because we weren't, you know, there was nothing really to keep us inspired. We didn't want to be like our parents.
Naturally,
that was just common, like even now it's common, isn't it?
Of course.
So nothing's new there. So moved out of home, started flatting.
Nice.
And I flatted with the lead singer of a famous band in New Zealand called Ticket.
Ticket.
His name was Trevor Tomlinson, and now became initiated.
Nice.
Actually, the whole band became initiated.
Amazing.
He's Tota Gopinath. And then at that particular point, we got into health food. So we followed.
Become vegetarian.
Do you know how we became? No, we got into health food first.
Health food first.
And
okay.
We were following. You know how everyone drinks that Bragg sauce?
Okay.
There's Bragg, the father, the
Bragg's.
Daughter made Bragg.
Yeah.
You see, most of the swamis have got it. They bring it out.
It's
health stuff. So he was my first guru.
Oh.
So we started following him.
Okay.
And that meant basically I got to the point where I stopped eating food. I was just drinking water.
Nice.
So anyhow, we got into this health food and we realized meat wasn't bad for you. So me and Trevor, we'd go to the steakhouse every Thursday, a tradition, payday steakhouse.
Right.
And then one day we were together, we walked up the steakhouse and we go, we're going to become vegetarian tonight. And we shook hands. He says, but for that, we're going to have our favorite steak.
The last supper.
So he ordered the T-bone. I ordered the Hawaiian. Sounds disgusting now.
Yeah.
We had it. We shook hands again and says, we'll never eat meat again.
Wonderful.
So from that one, that relationship we had, I became vegetarian from that particular point in time.
That's good.
So Bragg was into this whole thing, cider vinegar and honey, and you got to fast. And so his goal was you fast for 40 days. You know, Christ started fasting for 40
days. A long time,
walked on water.
Yeah.
But how you did it, you prepared yourself. So first of all, you gave up eating solids,
gradual process.
Yes, distilled water, this juice, that juice, and this juice. So then I was basically, then you do 1 day a week fast, 2 day a week fast, 3 day a week fast.
Yeah, it's gradual, you do it.
So nice. I got to the point where I gave up eating, just drinking, 3rd day a week fast, and then someone invited me to the Hare Krishna temple.
Then you broke your fast because it was Sunday feast, love feast or something?
Yeah.
What do you call now, it at
now,
that time?
Now, the person who invited me was a person who had given up his flat for the Hare Krishnas to have their first flat in Christchurch. Right. I didn't know all this. Right. And he just says one day, he says, we're going to the Hare Krishnas. Don't worry about cooking today. So I went to the Hare Krishnas, you know, Hare Krishna love feast. It was no love according to what we experienced. No,
of course,
Sifti,
of course. But the different
love
spiritual
feast.
Love.
Spiritual yeah, spiritual love. So they brought out, you know, they did the kirtan, the class. I think they read a Krishna story or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sat down to eat. Oh, and this is bad for you. I said, you've cooked all the goodness out. You know, look at it. You've
overcooked.
You've overcooked. Yeah. You use salt and sugar and, you know, you guys have got to give this up. So, you know, because you're proud.
Of course.
You know.
You're on the next level.
Yeah, pauper's proud of his penny. And there was like 3 or 4, maybe, brahmacharis and one person in white. And I remember saying, oh, he must be really advanced. And they go, why? I go, because he's the only one wearing white and all you guys are wearing saffron. So I walked out. Not interested whatsoever, had no interest.
But you ate?
I ate the prasad.
Okay.
Of course I ate it.
Of course, you test everything.
You know, you might have a philosophy, but when it becomes prasad, the philosophy goes out the
cannot,
door.
You know, can't renounce that.
You know, so I ate them.
That's good.
And then I walked out the door, never ever thought I'd go, had no interest whatsoever. And later on, a few months later, someone gave me a book to read. And then I read the book halfway through and I go back to the person, it's really, really not for me. What's, come on, mate, I'm a philosopher. You know, I'm going to do the 40-day fast. What? I don't need.
We are on the next level.
Yeah, I don't need all this stuff.
No, this is for kids.
Yeah, this is for kids. And then I met the devotees maybe about, I don't know, 6 months plus later. And then I thought, geez, I better ask them what they're all about. So I approached them, what's it all about? You know, happiness. I says, I'm happy. They says, your happiness is temporary because you're stone. We can see you're stone. You have an up and a down, just like this building. Here today, gone tomorrow. Yeah. What's the use of your so-called happiness? And I thought, Jesus, that's far out.
That's deep.
I like that, mate. I like that. And then I says, can I come round again? And I went round. And it was on a festival day. So it was like Haridas Thakur. There's 3 festivals in it.
Yeah. In the row.
Yeah, and then when I left there, I started chanting 16 rounds and never stopped.
Fire out. But would you say that the prasanna you took today planted the seed inside your heart? Would you say that?
Yeah, that damn prasadam.
Yeah, you see? I knew it. People are poisoning you. They're capturing you and then distributing pakora and ice cream.
The drugs in this prasad. Like all the other devotees, it was the damn halva.
Yeah, the halva. Oh,
forget about this. Forget about the sabji and the kur and the pakoras. Once you have that halva,
you fall in love.
You're finished.
You're finished. You're not the first one. I met many, many devotees like Satadanya Prabhu.
Yeah.
He joined in New York in 72 or something. And he said that, you know, when I test the halwa, I say, wow, this is the next level.
I know. And even till today, every Sunday, they bring me a cup of halwa.
Ooh.
Every
they just make you remind you and reestablishing your Krishna consciousness,
just
remembering you.
They know
don't
I'm going
go
through,
anywhere.
They know I'm going through a tough time. They go, here, Carla.
Wonderful, man.
So that was the beginning.
Wonderful. Then you did a lot of service, you know, for sure. Tell me, how did you first meet Srila Prabhupada? In which place?
That jumps right up ahead. That we went to basically open the temple in Melbourne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which year it was?
Was it 74 or 75 or in between?
Yeah.
And so they just brought that place that they've got now.
Yeah.
So we went all over there to help.
And Prabhupada did the installation of the Didi. I saw the video and the photograph.
And in the initiation, you see the yajna on a couple of steps down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was right next to them there. So that's when I met Srila Prabhupada.
What was your impression of seeing Srila Prabhupada, the Swami from India, you know, small stature but big personality?
It wasn't like this is the person I've been reading about.
Okay.
It was more
the
like
the author.
He's
the person.
This is the person now, right, he's right here.
Right.
And it wasn't till much more purification that I began of to course. Appreciate.
Much more bucket of aloe.
Yeah, but at the beginning it wasn't like, wow, here's Srila Prabhupada and I really want to surrender. And I was more like, this is the person I'm doing all this for.
It's good.
You know, so it wasn't like
too, exceptionally a volcano explosion or somebody sees somebody walking on the clouds.
Like a shooting star and the next one bloop.
Different people, they have different emotion.
It was super nice, actually.
Nice.
Because I read the Bhagavad Gita twice before I joined. And so I met Prabhupada in Melbourne and did some far out service for the Melbourne Temple.
Nice.
Yeah. And actually, when Prabhupada arrived in Melbourne, I was there and I was the first one with him. And we went into the room and it's got that gorgeous
beautiful
room. The fire was on and Madhavisa was there. And Prabhupada says, this is all for you, Prabhupada. It's all for me. With a big
huge
smile.
Place. It's a huge room. It's beautiful room. With a couch and a bed.
So that was the first time. When I first joined, we just established a temple in Christchurch. I was going to become the first Christchurch devotee to actually move in. So we got this place, we purified it with cow dung, which made me puke. All of a sudden we're out in the bloody jungle getting cow dung and we're putting it all over the bathrooms and the kitchens and I'm going, this is pretty spooky stuff. and then I was going to join Monday, and then Saturday night they came round to my place, and they says, "We're going up to Auckland. Would you like to come up?" And I says, "Yeah." And they had this old car. At that particular point, Siddha Sarup and Tusta, they were the main ones running, because Tusta's the one that invited Srila Prabhupada over. They installed the deities in 72. So I went up to Auckland, and Siddha Sarupa decided to leave ISKCON.
He was going to...
He was in Hawaii.
But he didn't want to be part of...
He didn't want to be part of the institution, still wanted to be part of ISKCON.
Right.
So that happened here, and it became official in 76.
Nice.
That's the time when I got initiated, and I still Jagannath. And so it was a pretty thriving community.
Yeah.
Those guys were super successful. Had the fantastic, super, successful spiritual sky incense factory. They had a branch down in Christchurch. They had a traveling Sankirtan team. They had, the Lotus Restaurant, a fantastic vegetarian restaurant.
Nice.
A lot of huge preaching, a lot of them.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of devotees. So I came up, they had an Easter ghostie, Tusta had an Easter ghostie, and they all left.
And they went to Hawaii, right?
No, they stayed here. They were already in Hawaii.
Oh, they were in Hawaii.
They were established in Hawaii, they were established on the Gold Coast, and they were established here in a place called Wangamatao, where the beaches are, because a lot of them were surfing.
And they're still there?
Yeah.
And they're doing nice preaching?
Yeah, they do. You don't know unless you know them, but yeah. A lot of home programs and they basically established the loft preaching. They wanted to live outside the temple and preach, plain clothes. And that's what I told, what was it, Red Ananda. I says, your Krishna West is so old, it's unbelievable. It was established by them.
Yes.
A long time ago. Yeah, a long time ago. It's nothing new. And it's always been part of our movement anyhow. So I don't think he liked that, but don't tell him.
No,
I did tell him.
It's funny because in Italy they have a say, You the know? Dress doesn't make the priest.
Yeah.
So it's your heart and your devotion, your culture, whatever way you dress. Also, Prabhupada was not fanatic.
No.
You know, especially in the West.
Yeah.
Because he said, you know, you just wear whatever is practical. If you're going to university, if they see you with the dog, you think you're a beggar or something. Yeah. It looks funny. So Prabhupada was not stereotype. No, you know,
he didn't. He just says, look, you go and do what you want to do.
Whatever you want to do.
The way you want to do it.
However you want to do it.
And if it's better than what we're doing, we'll follow you. But in the meantime, we'll just stick what... They didn't like things like wampas on Harinam. They didn't like the way we're shortchanging book distribution. They just didn't like that aspect.
They wanted to have a little more class to it.
Well, basically, they weren't too far outside of... You know, we're all coming from hippies.
Yeah.
So in a sense, sort of created a hippie type of environment. We'd go to the beach, we'd light a big fire, we'd have candles,
guitar,
and then everyone would be sitting, swaying back and forth.
Chanting Hare Krishna.
You know, we're chanting, instead of getting stoned, we were chanting Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
So, and that was appealing, and it's still appealing.
Yeah, of course.
So they started that. God, 40, 50 years ago. But then, maybe Prabhupada was still initiating them.
Yeah.
But then it got to a point where they were having problems with the GBC.
Right.
And then Prabhupada said, well, the GBC is my body. Authority. If you don't accept the GBC, then you don't accept me. Then he stopped initiating them. But until that time, he was initiating them outside.
Right.
Yeah.
But let me know, what was the reaction of your father, mother, brother, sister, that when you joined Hare Krishna, they were happy or they were unhappy or they were saying, what's going on?
Oh, they were happy. They you know, I mean...
At least you're not taking dope, you're a vegetarian, you seem
well,
to be happy.
I'm still taking dope. Actually, you know, for the first like 6 months to a year, I didn't give up taking dope.
Okay.
But I made sure I always chanted my 16 rounds.
Okay.
Actually, at the beginning, I chanted 32 rounds a day.
That's good.
Because I was living in an environment where I weren't sure what the people were thinking.
Right.
So I called them my suit moochie rounds. I was still in bed. Hare Krishna. And then everyone got, I'd get up, have a shower, get clean.
Chant again.
And I'd chant another 16.
Nice.
And then people would ring me up at night, like on Saturday, Friday, and they'd go, oh, where are you, James? Because my name's James. And I'm going, oh, I'll be there in 20 minutes. I didn't tell them I still had a couple of rounds to chant. So once I started chanting, till this day, I've always chanted 16 plus rounds a day.
But your father, mother, and brother and sister, they were okay with it?
Oh, really okay. My sister ended up calling her son Narayan.
Nice.
My other brother, who was in also a rock band, once he had Halavar, he wanted me to teach him. So when he came home from the pub at night and got stoned, he would make it. I says, I'll only make it on one condition, that before you eat it, you go Krishna. So I taught him how to make halva.
Nice.
You know, and even today, super favorable.
Wonderful.
Super favorable. No problems there whatsoever.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on here in Christchurch. I mean, sorry, in Auckland, because there is a lot of, I don't know whether your responsibility is only limited to you or the whole New Zealand. Are you part of the greater New Zealand community?
Yeah, part of the national thing.
National council or something?
Regional secretary.
Okay. You're the man.
Troubleshooter.
Okay.
But I don't have to really travel because each place is pretty much
together.
Established.
They're doing good.
They're all old enough to look after themselves.
Nice.
And
what's going on?
What's going on?
The magic is continuing preaching is going on.
Yeah, the preaching.
I see a lot of Indian people in all of the temple.
Yeah.
Not so much in Australia, some temple in Australia, but New Zealand as well. I see quite a lot of.
What
about the original Maui people or original people from New Zealand or the New Zealand people?
At the beginning, there was no Indian cultivation whatsoever.
No.
And then we went through that acharya stage where we did the paraphernalia.
Right.
So here we were doing like a couple of $1 million a year.
Nice.
Just on paraphernalia.
Wow.
So, you know, and the school was just established for the Westerners and the community only had Westerners. We didn't even think about Indian congregation.
No, of course.
That all happened after the acharya. left, and then the income went down, and all the devotees that were doing the collection either started collecting it for themselves or giving them to their acharya. So the temples, like this place became a slum. You know, there was
nobody.
The people went, the money went. And then I left here and I was temple president of Wellington for a couple of years. And I was temple president of Christchurch for 11 or 12 years. So I've been into management 40 plus years, you know.
Tough.
Nectar.
Nectar. I love that.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Nectar. So that, and it, when I was in Christchurch, it was all Westerners, no Indian congregation.
Right.
It was when we weren't here and the people that were left here, because they wanted to build this temple, it became, you know, it's not a nice way to say it, but it seemed like the Indian congregation became the paraphernalia. You really didn't want to get them too close, but you wanted their money.
Right.
You know, and so you established these bodies of senior Indian people out there to help you do things and so on and so forth. So that's when it was started.
Okay.
And so when I came back up here 25 years ago, it was basically, it was an Indian community.
Right.
Apart from Satchi Sura and the wife, but there was no Westerners here.
And you have a very successful school. How many children are there now in the school? About?
We're just about getting up to 180 plus. And and for us, the COVID was a bloody good thing.
Actually, all over the world, I should tell, you know, because kind of people kind of explore their own life.
Yeah.
When you're locked inside your house, you start to think, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Where am I going with this? Okay, I have money, but I can die tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or I have everything. I have a nice house, but prisoner on my own place, and then they start to kind of explore more spirituality.
Yeah,
so it was a boon for us, I would say.
Yeah.
Although many people pass away, although some devotee pass away as well.
And then we had that whole anti-vax group. A lot of students left, mainly the Westerners.
Right.
Because we supported the government, but that's a whole different thing. But since then, with our new management, it's doubled in 2 years.
Nice.
And so we've taken it from 80 students to 180. We're only allowed 150. We've just applied to the Ministry of Education for 350.
So you have to enlarge also the facility and the premises.
See the buildings?
Yeah, I saw you building a new building.
So we just got those from the, we just brought those for a really good price from a university. It's just closed.
Oh, good. These are ready-made house.
They're ready-made classrooms.
You just open them and reassemble them here.
We're just waiting for a building.
What are on the stands?
Because we're waiting for the building consent.
Oh.
Without the building consent, you can't put them on the piles.
Okay.
So that should be coming through. I was thinking
about the earthquake. That's why I was thinking maybe they're putting that so they don't fall down or something.
No. In Auckland, we get volcanoes, mate.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. You know,
Wugum.
Boom. God.
So... that's there. There's a two down there by where you're staying too.
Yeah, I saw that too. Also new.
Such good prices. They're not even 20 years old.
They're good.
That's six bedroom.
They look
units.
New, actually.
Yeah. So that's the school. So we're expecting by the end of the year we'll be up to 250.
Nice.
And we'll go to about 300 to 400.
But
really fast.
What about the syllable of the school? I mean, you're following the same government things, and plus you're applying some spirituality or what? The spice.
We have to by law.
Of course, you have to follow some.
No, by law we have to add Krishna consciousness.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah, we're an integrated school. We've got a contract with the Queen with her stamp on it, which means actually a percentage of our teaching has to be around the teachings of Bhaktivedanta Swami.
So, what type of syllables do you teach?
Well, they teach everything else.
Yeah, of course, we ABCD, geography, history, and everything, science. Everything. Plus what? Bhagavad Gita or Krishna book or Bhagavad Dhamma? I don't know. What book you teach?
Mantras, kirtan in the temple.
Nice.
All the major festivals. They have their own Janmashtami, Radhashtami, Bhaktisiddhanta. They come over, do the whole thing. Abhishekhs, Madanga lessons.
And plus, obviously, you explain to them why we're doing this. It's not just rituals. It's not just we just do this because it's a ritual.
No.
It's like there's an explanation,
yeah.
a logic understanding of why we worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a certain way according to the Vedic.
It's fantastic.
It's beautiful.
So if we don't do that, they can close us down.
So make sure that you keep on doing that.
Yeah, so we're forced to actually have, you know, Krishna consciousness
That's
in our
nice.
School.
That's
what's
nice.
Called the Hare Krishna school.
Yeah.
How cool
beautiful.
Is that?
It's super cool, man.
Yeah, yeah. And you see the buses, so we travel out to different
pick
suburbs
up
and pick up the people. And,
nice.
And then later on, when they get this more established, then they'll create satellite. But at the moment, we want to get this together and
Wonderful.
Get it pumping.
Wonderful.
So, super nice.
So what's the future plan you are having in store in your heart for this temple? What is a secret which nobody knows? Tell us.
We are
listening all over the world. No, the secret means how you can plan to conquer, the New Zealand people or the.
Well, that's why I created Holi.
Oh, okay, Holi. Yeah, that's a big festival in America. They do. You know, I've seen thousands of people that throwing.
Yeah.
There is a DJ with a Hare Krishna band.
Yes, for New Zealanders, it's tough to get them in the door. For Kiwis.
Okay.
Indian, it's you just put a dome.
Of course, they all come.
Well,
yeah.
that's our temple. These
right,
are our
right,
dear. This
right,
is our
right.
philosophy.
Yes.
I am Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I mean, you scratch Prabhupada's say inside, them there is a devotion. It's true.
So, you know, we always rack our brains how to get the Westerns in. So after looking at Chiru's thing, took us 10 years. We were discussing, let's do it, let's not do it. So last year we had like 15,000 people.
That's
we do it right
big.
Here.
That's big.
Yeah. So we do it in the summer. They all park on the lawns. We open the temple. It's mainly just all kirtan, you know, and plus the DJ, the Hare Krishna devoted DJ.
Who is the famous DJ nowadays?
It's not.
There's not one. There are many.
Well, the ones we get are based in Australia.
Oh,
they
good.
Do all the
good.
Holies in Australia. So
and the musician?
Well, we have all the devotees have their own
their
bands.
Own. Okay.
It's all devotees.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So, and then we do up to 15 Rath Yatras a year.
That's a lot.
Mainly in a 3-week period, we do all the Christmas parades.
Nice.
And that was another thing, how to get out there with the people. And it's good because every suburb around here, like you can go, one of them's got the Islanders, and it's got the Maoris, and it's got the, Indians, and it's the Westerners. So every Christmas parade,
you're
heading.
Distributing prasada and the people see Jagannath.
Yeah.
So creating a lot of Vajjata Sukriti for everybody.
Yeah, so we've started that.
But the New Zealand people, they look like to be peaceful and happy and naturally non-violent. I don't know, maybe the Maori, Kshatriya. But I don't see violence around. I don't see...
Well, it's not America. We haven't got the
population.
No, population.
Yeah, I mean, my God, America is scary.
It's like anybody. It doesn't matter. If you get someone intoxicated, you get a crazy person.
Of course.
So we don't usually get hassled so much.
No.
Like we used to in the old days. But
no.
Happy, they're just as happy as anyone else around the world, I suppose. I don't know. I really haven't really given it much thought. So preaching wise, we'll have the restaurant up the front in that old building. The temple's too small now, so we're going 6 meters out. We're just doing the plans now.
Right.
Paraphernalia, we're going so many meters. Downstairs, we're going building a big hall, so we're just finalizing those plans there.
But when you do this holy festival, we call you have a pandal or it's just open into the
right
grass?
Right here.
But you have a pandal or no? It's covered? No, it's open because it's nice weather at that time.
Yeah, we just have the stage and...
It's like Woodstock.
Yeah, we open downstairs. They can come inside. They can come in the temple.
Right.
And the dyes are really good. They don't stain or anything.
Yeah, these are all natural dyes.
Yeah.
And in the end, you give prasada to everybody?
We have prasad.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, we have
prasada. That's beautiful. That's a nice program.
Yeah. Then we were doing school cooking programs for a while, but now the government's changed all the policies on you can't cook and take and all that sort of stuff. And we do prasadam on Harinam. Harinam's
But you have a restaurant in the city as well?
We don't have a restaurant.
Do you think we should have a restaurant?
Well,
that's
David Metamaraj's area. They have the loft where they serve prasad and do the loft. So
that's nice.
He takes care of like the Western preaching.
That's good.
That's his forte.
That's good.
And he's really expert at it.
That's fantastic.
And, and I basically oversee. I don't do much at all. You know, I've just got such a
good... somebody's doing it. Yeah, Devamrita Maharaj is doing it. He's successful. So
yeah, he's doing that
will be pleasing to Srila Prabhupada.
Even pushing on the movement here, it's mainly done by certain devotees from a council. They're all qualified people.
So what are the main hurdle for you, or the main obstacle, if there is any? Is there anything, anytime you want to share, like you went through a tough time with something? I don't
obstacle.
Know. No, there is no obstacle in Krishna consciousness. Everything is smooth.
Yeah,
no, come on.
Well, I really can't think of it. The only obstacle would be myself.
Oh, you're such a nice guy.
You know, that's the only obstacle I can see. Just the more I can keep away from the devotees, the faster things develop and I get involved. I'm just enjoying, you know, this part of my life.
That's beautiful.
I've still got good health. I dress the deities on all the festivals, do Harinam Fridays, and I go to Vrindavan every year, Mayapur, apart from the last couple of years, you know.
So you would certify that this Krishna conscious movement can give real happiness to the soul. Can you certify that? Put a stamp and your signature. Anybody who takes seriously Krishna consciousness is bound to be happy and enjoy the spiritual adventure, which is full of fun. Can you say that?
When I go home at night,
yes,
I thank Prabhupada.
Of course.
I thank Prabhupada. Says, thank you very much, Prabhupada, for allowing me once again to do some incredible service for you. And I go, thank you, Sri Sri Radha Giridhari, who is our dear. Nearly every night, I appreciate, and even just the other day, because I had this sickness, Fijian flu, and I was thinking, Krishna, you've looked after me so nicely.
How
the hell can I complain?
Cannot.
You know, I'm 73 this year. Health is
you look younger,
to be
man.
All right.
What type of pills you take?
You know, I still take LSD.
No, you don't. Come on.
Smoke dope. You know, that's a cup of halva.
The cup of halva there, keep my eye away.
Every Sunday, mate, that I recommend.
Nice.
And I've never... I'm not on any diet. I've never had to at this point.
You're looking good.
I'm not, you know. So I really can't complain.
No, absolutely.
You know, wonderful devotees, wonderful kirtans. It's, you know, when you see the hole there and you see the Rathyatras and you're out on Harinam and people are participating, especially being in New Zealand, because it's the furthest place away.
From anywhere else.
You look at it. We're like... Yeah. You know,
you're like in the end of the world.
You go any further, mate, you're going to fall over the edge.
It's just you
can see it.
The earth is flat.
you can see it.
I know you.
So, I really.
But Kala Sambhra Prabhu, I want to ask you one question, because now let's go back in time. I remember Tamakrishna Maharaj was in my house the day before he passed away.
Wow.
He was eating pizza and cake. And I remember telling him, Maharaj, do you want me to arrange a car for you?
Yeah.
We have so many nice car with nice driver and then on the road. And he said, no, I have this nice driver who drives very fast from Navadip.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, no problem, Maharaj, whatever you want. He took a little rest and he went to his conch building. And the next day you were in a car with your wife who passed away, I believe.
Yeah.
And I was very shocked and I cried so much.
Yeah.
And tell us a bit about that experience.
Well, that was my wife's birthday.
Oh, my
goodness.
So
we weren't supposed to go that day.
Right.
But she had a desire on her birthday because Tamal was like her Shiksha Guru.
Right.
She took initiation off into Dudna Maharaj, but mainly her relationship was with Tamal. Intellectually, they would ring to each other, write to each other. And her desire was to be a secretary. Yeah, why can't I be a secretary?
Yeah.
You know, so they had a really good relationship.
Yeah,
so
of
she
course.
Said to me, we were supposed to go prior. She said, oh, can you arrange that we go together? So I asked Tamala, is it all right? And that we go with you. And he says, yeah, for sure. So that's how we ended up being in the car at that particular time. And so we're in the car. And there's never a dull moment with Tamal.
No.
So I think the first 20 minutes was just getting a safety belt to work. You know what he's like.
Yeah.
You know,
all right,
is this tight enough, Carl? Is it, you know, is this right? Is that right? And we were just...
He was sitting in the front next to his driver.
No, he was sitting in the front.
Yeah.
And I was sitting behind the driver. And then my wife was beside. And then we were basically just talking. We were talking about how there's a shortcut now, and we were talking about how...
Shantipur shortcut, yeah.
And then we were talking about at Karatik, we're all going to get together and spend a couple of months together at the palace, going into chanting. He says...
Nice.
The good thing about me and my wife is we had the same taste, you know, going to the Dham, chanting, Prashad Association. Nice. So he picked that up. Nice. So he says, okay, come over in Karatik. We'll spend a couple of months together and we'll really get deeply into our chanting, because me and him used to chant on top of the palace at night overseeing Govardhan. That's how I got my taste for Govardhan.
Beautiful.
And he would discuss how the king would sit there and Govardhan, of course, when the lights change, you get that whole glistering colour change.
It's a mystical experience.
Yeah, so we would sit there. So we were just talking like that. Yeah, let's do this and let's do that. And then the next minute, there was just a blank out.
Boom.
Yeah, because I also hit the roof.
Yeah.
And so I woke up when the car was upside down in the air. So I went unconscious for a moment, and then I was upside down, and the car slid along and stopped on the other side. And then I smashed the window to get out. I kicked the window and got out. And it was funny because in my mind, I was thinking, oh, we've had an accident. No big deal. We'll just get another car and go to the airport.
Right.
So it wasn't until I got out, the car was upside down. Tamal was still in the
car.
Yeah, upside down. So, and then by that time, the car behind us had stopped. They were there. The disciples were freaking out, the whole thing. Then by the time all the villagers had come, so they were grabbing bags and taking them.
Yeah.
So then I helped Maharaj out and we put him on the grass, and I helped my wife out, and they brought another car and went to the hospital. And then the doctor says, you know, he says, you know, Tamal left instantly, but he says my wife was in a worse situation because she had 10% maybe brain functioning. Mm-hmm. So then they took it out of the hospital part and just, you know, on the floor, all the beds were taken up. And then at that particular point, Shivaram Maharaj came and Niranjana came and Jai Pataka, who was a GM, because they wanted to do a full autopsy.
Yeah.
Because when a guru dies, it's a serious thing.
Always.
So then my wife was still alive, and then I was with Shivaram and Niranjana, and then she died, and I asked them just to chant the Nisringadev prayers, and then we had to organize that minibus to come back, but the villagers wouldn't let us leave because they knew on the minibus was a saintly guru, so they all wanted to come on
and
have darshan. And I don't know who it was, but they says, I think Maharaj's head was by the window, and they says, tell all the people you can have darshan
from the window.
Of the window. And that's the only way we got out.
They wouldn't let you go.
Yeah, and then we arrived at Mayapur. That's about the main gist of what I remember.
Right. Heavy experience.
Yeah.
But one thing I noticed, you know, just in the last few months of Tamal Krishna Maharaj's life, he became very super nice. He started to embrace people, he started to speak to them nicely. And I was wondering, well, he's a tough guy. He's always, you know, getting your kids if you didn't put the spoon properly or something. Yeah. But certainly he was behaving different. And of course, I knew from day one. So it's, I don't know, you know. It's,
was that after the operation?
Not sure.
Operation? He had a whole operation.
No, I don't know. Maybe it was after that.
Because he told me, he said that, I was on the table and they pull out your whole stomach and they're doing a whole thing. He said, and then he looked to someone else that was on the bed and he goes, geez, there's not much difference between me and him when you're looking just at the body.
Just the body.
But after that, because I remember when he came here, he was like a whole different person.
Yeah.
He had never, ever, ever, and I knew him right back to the beginning when he was going to become the Acharya. You know that story?
Yeah, of course.
They poured the hot dal over him and that.
No, I don't know about that.
Yeah, and then the deities fight, and someone picked up the deities and they're going to smash the deities in Sydney. Yeah, he came over to be the acharya and I was serving him. And I was taking him upstairs to actually shave him up. And the cook came down and spilled a whole pot of dal down the wall and it went right down him.
Well, why?
It slipped off the...
Oh, it slipped off.
And okay. Then when he was in Sydney giving a class, someone jumped on the altar and picked up the small deities and were going to smash the big deities. So when he got back to Mayapur, he went up to Bhavananda and he says, I don't think this is the right zone for me. Keep Fiji, yeah. But I'm not going to keep here. But I remember telling him once, I was at Govardhan, and you know how he's so full on. I said, look, Maharaj, you shouldn't act like this to your Western disciples. He goes, what do you mean? I go, you know, it seems like your Indian disciples can handle the heaviness of the whole rasa.
But not the
Western. He goes, no one's ever had the guts
to tell me,
he says, thank you very much.
That was nice.
He says, and he never, ever, ever, and all that time, I remember making his first Vyasa scene when he came to Auckland and serving him, and never ever spoke harshly, got on my case. It was completely the opposite.
Must have been never.
Always
had. I didn't know that he had operation or anything, but I found that he was super nice and sweet.
Prostrate, I think.
And very personal. And I was very surprised because, you know, usually we go to him when we have some problem and he say, okay, I'll take care of this. Let's go and fight, whatever.
Yeah.
He's the person who will step into the GBC and tell everybody, this is nonsense, this is not what Prabhupada wants, and you guys are in Maya.
Well, you've got to remember like too, I mean, he hadn't been to the GBC meetings for 10 years.
Of course.
That before he left his body was the time, but the difference was unbelievable. You know, the difference, the decisions he was making and the organizational skills was incredible. It's like Bea Krishnamurti says once, if Tamal was here, a lot of these problems wouldn't exist.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, you'd have the other problems that Tamal created. But
of course, anyway, that's a separate issue. But he was a natural leader. There are few natural people who were born leader, you know, like and him and Bhagawan and so many other people. Yeah. I mean, few people in our movement that were like...
Powerful.
They could powerfully reestablish, you know, balance and stuff, you know. Yeah. And when people went off the road, you know, they bring them back and they spoke to them.
And he was really good with people.
He was very good.
Even as me, as a manager, he told me who's going to support me, who's not, who to watch out for.
He knew.
Who not to watch
out
for.
He can see things.
He said, this GBC man will never support you, and which he never did until now that he's not a GBC or a guru. Now we're mates. It's funny how things change, isn't it? As soon as the titles go and the whole thing, and it's so far out. But yeah, I think if you can, most devotees, if they can, take up some service, take up some responsibility. Because it's a really far out learning curve, you know.
Yes.
How to deal with people, how to not deal with people. You create friends and you create enemies.
That's always there.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't. You could say some people like me, some people love me, some people hate me.
That's part of life, in the ordinary.
And then people say, well, what keeps you going? And I say people like Arjuna, Queen Kunti, Draupadi. I'm going, Arjuna's in the battlefield with his friend Krishna, his son Abhimanyu is being murdered by these great, did he bloop?
No.
Did all of a sudden Arjuna stop the chariot and go, okay, Krishna,
give up.
I'm out of here, mate.
Go and fight yourself.
Do your own bloody work. You know, Draupadi, Queen Kunti, all these calamities. I mean, Prabhupada says we shouldn't pray for calamities. He says, geez, the morning program's a calamity for us without desiring, just getting up and following the principles and chanting their calamity. We don't have to ask for anything else.
Yeah, already they come by themselves.
I think devotees should have heroes within our movement.
Of course.
They should have heroes within our shastra. And when things are going tough, you just that's your form of meditation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In the other end, I think whatever topic goes for now is a piece of cake. Look at what really all this personality, Haridas Thakur,
yeah,
or even Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, come
we're
on.
Small
you know?
Time.
If,
someone, you know.
If they treat us like that, we would be gone a long time ago.
Yeah,
you know?
That's why they go.
But
we have nothing in
comparison. You know,
yeah.
It's really flowing nicely. Mm-hmm. And like you say, very ecstatic experience all the time.
Yeah.
So let me ask a few questions before we can talk to you, Kalsama, for many, many hours, but our time is going short. So what, if you would have been going back 50 years in your life, what would you change?
With the money, would have brought real estate. I would have brought all the money we had, we basically gave away that 10-year period. I mean, it's like the farm here is worth $100 million if I sold it tomorrow.
Of course.
But you can't mortgage it, you can't do anything.
No.
So I would do what Prabhupada actually wanted, buy real estate
He did that in
LA,
perfect example. Yes.
You know, MVT to support the deity. So if I had money, you know, it's so funny, you know, it's like, if you have money, print books. Well, if I had money, I'd buy real estate.
Of course.
Like the Catholics did, like all the churches did, and create bases which had financial support for its members.
Yes.
So if you have these assets which are bringing in money, then you can support people nicely. You know?
Wonderful.
If I went back, I'd immediately do that.
Wonderful. And what is your favorite sloka from any scripture that you keep in deep in your heart?
Well,
if there is any particular one.
I'm not really a Shastric person.
No,
I don't like to
give
class. I don't like to talk.
You're a talker, man. You can give class. But is there any particular, apart from the mantra, is there any particular
thing?
I learned
two mantras that got me through 6 months of my life. You know, Matra Spastas de Kuntia and Brahmana Bhuvana Loka. You know, from the top planet to the
down
lowest.
Down to
the
lowest, all places of misery, where repeat the birth and death takes
place. So those two mantras, two slokas, got me through the first 6 years of my devotional life.
Pretty good, I should say.
But no, I don't, you know, I have a prayer that I learned when I was in Braj Mandala. It's like, you know, as the sun arises in the east, the jewel of the twice born arises, or Lord Garunga arises, taking his devotees through the country, the towns and the villages, plays the madangas and the cymbals chime in time. Lord Garunga shimmering bodily features dance and his footbells jingle. All the devotees chant the name Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, and Hari. His mouths being filled with the vibration. He would announce to the still sleeping people, you spend your nights ceaselessly sleeping, your days decorating
it's
your
body. It's a film. I can see it.
So I was on doing Braj Mandala.
Nice.
And then the sun would come up and I
you start to visualize.
And then after that, you learn the other one. You know, that's where I get the word nectar from. People say, you're always saying nectar. And I says, because Bhaktivinoda, we've got to drink the nectar
always,
of the holy
always,
name.
Always.
And then Lord Chaitanya says, I've descended just to save you, other than myself, who is your friend. What about this? I brought the medicine will wipe out the disease of illusion. That is the disease. You know, you go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, knee ache. I'm an illusion, mate. You know, doctor has to open the keto.
Yeah.
So verses like that, I say continuously in
Beautiful.
My mind.
Wonderful.
I love them.
Now, I want you to give a parting message
for
our audience of Radio Mayapur. Give them something that you feel they should know from you or from your heart. A parting message.
Well, I think it's the holy name.
Okay.
I mean, I basically tell people, don't change anything, just add
Krishna.
You can add the name Krishna, then
to
everything else
will fall apart, follow in line. Nice.
And in doing that, Krishna will, that word Krishna and that relationship will bring the satisfaction that you're looking for. It'll you know, it fulfills a need. So I just encourage everyone to do like Haridas prayed, may I have 10,000 ears and 10,000 tongues, so I can continually chant this mantra. So I base my whole life on the holy name.
Beautiful.
And that's when amazing. I see people, I tell them, I don't care what you do, add Krishna, and then let Krishna work for you. And there's no force. When love, there's no force. I'm not coming to you with a gun. I'm saying this will take care of all your needs. So, and serve the mission. It's such a far out mission, Lord Chaitanya, especially Mayapur, come on. You know, Lalita, Vishaka, Champakalada, Indralaka, Sri Chitra, Sri Tungyavit, what is it? You've got the Astashakis there, you know, you've got the Panchatapa there. Hey, you've got the damn Ganga.
Yeah.
It's Charanamrita. It's coming from the flowing, top of Vishnu.
The flowing Ganga.
Through celestial planes on the head of Lord Shiva, and then you get to bathe. Come on. Every day I would bathe in the Ganga.
Ecstasy.
So if you're in Mayapur, you've done something super, super incredible. Well, I shouldn't even say that. We're in Mayapur because of the grass hut.
Of course.
And the person who sat in there and did what? Chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. And he sat in Thompson Square doing the same thing. And the policeman, the policeman said, you're not supposed to be here. Prabhupada didn't get, well, I'm the founder of Chari here, man. I'm Bhaktivedanta Swami. You know,
have some respect.
Sits on the grass, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Just the same thing. And from that, our whole movement.
Let's start. You are a beautiful person, Kala Samvara Prabhu. I really enjoy being with you. And please come to visit Mayapur and inspire everybody to take up this chanting. Thank you so much once again.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Hari Haribo.
Gaur Premananda.
Hari Haribo. Thank you. Wonderful.
There you go.
You're listening to Radio Mayapur with the best devotional, meditation, kirtan music, and inspirational podcast. This is Radio Mayapur.